And we are back. This is Open Forum on the Women's Radio Network. I'm your host, Roger Moore, and it's my pleasure to have on today's show owner of international business law firm, Stephanie Lewis. Stephanie, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm just fine, Roger, and I hope you are too.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. And to begin here, let's talk about how you got started over at the international business law firm.
That's quite a long story, but primarily, my now deceased husband and I had built up for about 15 years a third-level air carrier that was serving between Yakutat and Seward on the North Gulf of Alaska and interior to Galkana. One day, we were fired on a corporate takeover and lost everything. Everything had belonged to the company, the dock, the planes, the residence, the furnishings, the shop, the waiting room, the office, the fueling, the helipad, everything. So we packed up our suitcase and with our daughter and went to Anchorage. But I found out that, you know, even when you think, oh, it's lost, there's a big world out there and some pretty nice people. So I said, before I start another business, I'm going to have formal education in law and finance. So I began my MBA program at the University of Alaska there in Anchorage. And following fall, I went to law school, and there is where I learned that law was really my passion. And so there's also a long story on how we got from there to IBLF. My aviation background mixed in, and I was general counsel for the Helicopter Association International for 5 years. Before I was fired, and again, all was lost. I had entered the HAI when they were $15,000 in loss, and during those 5 years, along with the president, Frank Jensen, we brought on real-time financing. We organized operations, built a building in Alexandria, and quite frankly, I made a big mistake. I told the chairman of the board that he better not tell at the convention that they should all raise their prices, and I said if he did, he'd have a ticket back to Italy because he'd be arrested, and that afternoon they fired me. But, you know, again, all was not lost. My current husband said, great. He was practicing law and said, now we'll have our own law firm. So eventually we started Lewis & Lewis, and we bought into or acquired or merged with the International Business Law Firm. That's basically how it got there.
Excellent. So pretty wide background there that you have, definitely a lot of experience as well. Now, what type of cases do you guys deal with over at the International Business Law Firm?
Basically, we have aviation and immigration matters. Immigration going from the initial applications made, investments, movement of international managers, the initiation of subsidiaries in the United States of foreign corporations. We do investment visas with treaty countries. We also have a practice in the immigrant visa investment program. I do personally the litigation of the firm's immigration matters. And I'm relishing the September 16 when I'm arguing before the Fourth Circuit in a particularly interesting case.
Excellent. Now, if you would, give us a little bit more details here on the on September 16th here. A pretty interesting case that you have coming up.
Well, On the 16th, that's before the Fourth Circuit, that's the highest appellate court in our region. And although I have argued that before them before, and there are many people who argue before the Fourth Circuit, this case coming up on the 16th is unusual and I think extremely important. It's the matter of Omar Gharib versus Eric Holder. And my client was a U.S. permanent resident for 28 years and was accused of stealing secondhand used pool cues. And at the criminal level, he had an attorney, appointed attorney, who brought no evidence, no witness, did no effective cross-examination, did not impeach any of the people who really didn't even see it. There was no evidence of any amount of money that had transpired. Basically, it was a matter of he did not have due process. And he's a very fine person, has been working on a hair salon for 20 years, but he's challenged in understanding, and was asked if he had any witnesses by the judge. He didn't even know what a witness was. So in the short end of it was that he really didn't have a fair trial. And that's on one hand. On the other hand, the immigration had identified his conviction as an aggravated felony. We challenged that interpretation of his conviction at the immigration judge level through the BIA. Therefore, in the Fourth Circuit, we are looking at both whether or not he had a fair trial, and if he did, even if he did, then was the conviction such that he would be removed to Egypt. He has the son who just graduated from high school, who had been born in the United States, and these are very, very interesting issues, particularly since my client had been detained for 2 years by the immigration people before we were able to get him out, at least temporarily, on a reporting basis, even though that doesn't, at this point in time yet, prevent him from being deported.
Definitely.
One of the biggest issues, I think, that is going to come up this year in the immigration is how long can detention detain a person without giving them any kind of opportunity for a flight and security hearing. Let me explain that a little bit. If a person is going to be detained, then they are given an opportunity to show that they're not going to flee jurisdiction and they're not a security risk for the rest of the community. And if those two points are met, then the person is usually released on bond or some kind of anklet or surveillance. The problem is that the law in immigration states that if the Department of Homeland Security identifies or defines a particular crime as that, then with that kind of authority, the person can be held, detained, without any kind of flight or security hearing. In other words, you're talking about detaining a person without any kind of hearing. The question then becomes, how long can that person be held? We have a the United States Supreme Court looked at that a couple times. One where they said that you can't hold a person for more than 6 months after all of the immigration proceedings are completed. But in Zadidas, that was the Supreme Court case. But you see, in my court, in my client's case, he is still in the proceedings because even Fourth Circuit review is considered to be in proceedings. And his proceedings began in April of 2012. And he was finally released in January of 2014. Now, released community, released from the concerns of deportation. There have been a number of decisions that have come down in the various district courts that said that if you're going to hold a person for more than I think most of them are coming up to around 3 months. If you're going to hold them for more than 3 months, you have to give them at least an opportunity to present the fact that they would not be a flight or security risk. I think that eventually we're going to have that come up, that same issue come up again to the Supreme Court. But that's a big problem. Another case in which it took us 3 years to get a person of detention. And what happens is that when a person is suddenly picked up and detained for years at a time, it takes everything they have because still are accumulating mortgages, accumulating condo fees, their credit cards, accumulate interest, they get judgments against them, and when they do get released, either because we were able to get him out, or in the case of the hearing on the 16th, in that case, we were able to get him out on a surveillance. Nevertheless, when a person is held without any kind of hearing for great lengths of time, it is extremely destructive to their lives, and when they're exonerated or released, that's unfortunate.
Yes, definitely. Interesting cases there and definitely some interesting facts there. Now, Stephanie, unfortunately, we're running low here on the time, so if you would provide any avenue of information for contact for our listeners, that would be great.
Our law firm has a website at www.iblf.com. Now, those letters, I stand for international, B for business, L for law, F for firm. So it is iblf.com. And if you would like to send me your email, I'm available to communicate with you. And my address is S for Stephanie, and my last name, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. No dots, no underscores between S and my last name. At iblf.com.
Excellent. And Stephanie, I want to thank you for joining me on today's show, giving out that information there on International Business Law Firm.
Well, thank you. And I wish everyone listening a very good day and look forward to maybe speaking with you another time.
Yes, same to you as well. And to our listeners, you've been listening to Open Forum presented by the Women's Radio Network. When we return back from the break, we'll be joined by another special guest. Stay tuned, everyone.
Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.